do count it a privilege to be able to speak to you this morning from God's Word. I also recognize the responsibility I have as a minister of the gospel to be faithful to the Lord and faithful to His Word and to share the truth with the Lord's people the best of my ability in a way that would be honoring and praising to the Lord and of benefit to you, the Lord's children. Say from the onset that I do love you, and I'm very, very thankful for you and for your fellowship and to have you with us this morning. Had a passage of scripture that's been very much on my mind the last several weeks, continues to be there this morning. Trust it's of the Lord, and we'll look at it together. I do ask for your prayers that the Lord would bless me with liberty to be able to share with you from His Word, and that we might learn from these wonderful words laid down in God's Word. We believe that the Bible is our rule of faith and practice, that we don't have the choice of changing the Word, that God's Word is given by inspiration of God, and that it is our guide. It is our, like the Old Testament writes, it's a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our path. It is that which we need to know about in order to know how to live here in this world. We believe the Bible was left for God's people. We believe the Bible was given not to make God's people, not to bring about God's people being God's people, but to instruct God's people that He has made on how we ought to live and how we ought to, what we ought to believe, how we ought to treat one another, how we ought to act in this world. And we're to do that in a way, if we follow the Word of God, that ultimately it comes down to glorifying the Lord, that our lives are about glorifying Jesus, giving honor and praise and glory to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. If we trust in our flesh in order to be able to do that, well, we won't get that accomplished. As a matter of fact, we don't even have the will in our flesh to accomplish it. We have in our flesh, as the Apostle Paul said, "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." We have absolutely no ability, no knowledge, no wisdom, no want to, no desire, nothing at all that would cause us to want to praise God or live in a way to praise God that isn't even in the thoughts of man until God works that in. Now, that's a good thought for God's little children who have a will and a desire to serve the Lord. Because if you have that, you may be off track. You may not be on track. Sometimes all of us are off track. Sometimes we want to do right, we end up doing wrong. Sometimes we're trying our very best, but we're coming up short. Sometimes we got the best of intentions, but we either don't follow through on those things or we are just misguided. And we want it to be the right way, but we don't always hit the mark just like it ought to be. But if you have a want to, if you have a desire today to serve the Lord, if you're here to worship the Lord, that in and of itself says that you believe that God is. And if you believe that God is, that in and of itself says that God has blessed you with an understanding that is above and beyond what you just had as a natural man. You in the flesh would not want to be worshiping God. You wouldn't be concerned about that. Wouldn't be any part of worry, a part of your agenda. If there wasn't something you could get out of it, there'd be no reason for you to do it. But if you're here today because you recognize there's a God who made the heavens and the earth and all that therein is, and that He has made me, and I'm here on this planet because He has made me and created me, and therefore because of His wonderful mercy and grace to such a one as me, and you can say that about you, because of that, I want to worship Him, and I want to live in a way to honor and glorify Him. And I've learned in my life, and the Bible teaches, and you have learned, I'm sure, in your life, and we continue to learn that that is the absolute most fulfilling, wonderful life you can live, is in fellowship with your Lord. As Matter of fact, outside of Jesus, there's no true joy. You believe that? I believe that. Outside of Jesus, there's really no true love. Outside of the work of Almighty God in us, there's none of the fruit of the Spirit outside of the work of Almighty God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The psalmist said, against such there is no law, meaning when you live in those things, you don't break God's law. And when we follow the shalls and the shall nots and we miss those things, and that's not our motivation, that's not our will and our desire, then we might have the appearance of being on track and be so far off track. That's why the Apostle Paul said that if we give all our goods to feed the poor and our bodies to be burned and we haven't done it in charity, which is in the love of God, we are a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, and we really have not done anything to any profit or benefit. Jesus came that we might have life. What a blessing. He came that we have life. You have life today. If you love the Lord, it's an evidence of the life He's worked in you. And if you have that life, it is by His grace that you have it. And then His Word comes and tells us how we are to live that life. Well, let's look at the Scripture. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning right at verse 1, the Apostle Paul addresses the church at Ephesus. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. There's a whole lot in what I've read in your hearing this morning. We read here that the Apostle Paul wrote as an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle is one that's immediately sent by Jesus Christ. It's one that Christ sent. And if you remember the Apostle Paul and his experience, we read about that in Acts chapter 9. We know that the Apostle Paul was not looking for the Lord when the Lord found the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was that Saul who was bringing havoc upon the church and doing everything that he could to destroy the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord, who loved Saul and loved the Apostle Paul, did a work in the life of the Apostle Paul that the Apostle Paul said was not according to his will or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but according to the will of God. The Apostle Paul, who was out to persecute the church, was struck down, turned completely around, and sent on his way to preach and to feed that little flock that he was out to destroy. And all of that was, according to the Apostle Paul, not by the work of man, but by the work of Almighty God. What a wonderful apostle we as Gentiles have. He was sent as the apostle unto the Gentiles, that we might see the example of this apostle, that if we love the Lord, it is because, as we sang this morning, we love Him because He first loved us. It isn't because of what we instituted or began, but rather that which He began in us. Paul said he was an apostle, or one sent by Jesus Christ, and that by the will of God. And he writes to the saints which are at Ephesus. And the saints, when you read about that in the Bible, you're just talking about, or the Bible is just, and I don't want to just make it light, it's talking about God's children. It's talking about those that have been called by God, set apart by God, made alive by God, made new creatures by God. A work of grace has happened and occurred in their life, that those who were dead in trespasses and in sins have now been made alive in Christ, and they have been set apart. They're God's children by God's choice, and because of God's love, He's worked a work in them. And the Apostle Paul was concerned about those saints. He says he's writing to the saints which are at Ephesus, and he also is writing to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And when you find someone faithful, it's because they've been given the gift of faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is not the work of man. Faith is not something I can produce in you. Faith is not something I can make happen in you. I can preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will not cause faith to happen in you. But if God has given you that wonderful gift of faith, then that faith that's implanted in you by the work of Almighty God, it'll grasp hold to that wonderful truth of the gospel, and you're able by God's grace to believe those very things about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that just changes everything about your life. Now listen, it isn't you who do that to get alive. It's the Lord who works it in you and makes you alive. And then as you walk in those things, you start experiencing and enjoying that life abundant that the Lord Jesus has given to you. And that's what the Apostle Paul was teaching about here and telling God's little children about. He says in verse 2, that wonderful writing that you'll find in all of the writings of the Apostle Paul. And I'm so glad that he wrote this saying. He said, "Grace be to you." Isn't that good news? Grace be to you. I need grace this morning. I need God's grace. You don't know what kind of fellow I am. You don't know all that has gone on in my mind. You don't know where I've been and what I've done. You don't know where my mind has been and what in my mind and heart I've done. And sometimes when ministers are standing before us and they are very plain and very direct, we get to wondering, so what kind of fellow is this really talking to us this morning when he starts talking like that? I want you to know that me, any other man, any other woman, any other person in this world outside of the grace of Almighty God, we're right with Romans 3. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's absolutely none good, no, not one. There's nothing good about my mouth. There's nothing good about my hands. There's nothing good about my thoughts. There's nothing good about my actions. There's nothing good about my behavior. Even my very best in righteousness, according to Isaiah, is but as filthy rags. And if I had to trust and depend on anything to save me other than the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there would be no hope for me, and there is no hope for you. And the good news is there is hope, isn't it? Aren't you glad we got a hope? And listen, our hope isn't a weak hope. It isn't a little hope. It isn't a feeble hope. It's a hope in one who did not, cannot, will not ever fail. It's in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I stand today in need of grace. I need His grace. And His grace has been given to me. I can look in my life and see grace in my life in the past. Can you see God's grace in your life? Oh, do you just think about how good the Lord's been to you? That ought to make us all happy this morning, just to stop and pause and think how good the Lord has been to me. We have a hymn that says, "The Lord has been so good to me, I want to praise His name." And if you think about all that the Lord has given, you know, sometimes we get wrapped up in this world thinking about all we don't have. Sometimes we get to thinking about all the things that have gone wrong. Sometimes we start thinking about all the things that we used to have that we no longer have. I used to have two legs that didn't have any problem running anywhere I wanted to go and can't picking up and doing anything I wanted to do. And now I get a little irritated when I can't move quite as fast over here and over there, or when I get a pain or get something going on. And I don't stop to think how good it's been that the Lord has blessed me for so many years with so many wonderful things. And rather than being appreciative of His grace, I'm ending up complaining. Now listen, it doesn't hurt anybody when I complain but me. I just sit around and moan and groan. It might hurt Sharon. She gets tired of hearing it. She is tired of hearing about the complaining. And it doesn't help, but it doesn't help me. When I complain, it doesn't make me feel better. When I moan and groan, it doesn't make me feel better. And how much better is it when God's little children think about the grace of Almighty God? See, I want to share with you this morning as much as I can about the grace of God, how God has been so wonderful to each and every one of us. Listen, God, if you have life, God's been good to you. He's blessed you. Every blessing that you have, according to the Scripture, natural blessings came from the Lord, and spiritual blessings came from the Lord. As a matter of fact, all of them came from the Lord. All of them came from Him. And He is the one who has blessed us. He said, grace, Paul said to them, grace be to you and peace. Brethren, we need peace in this old world. It's bad when we're not at peace. Families are in trouble when they're not at peace. Individuals in their own life and in their own heart and in their soul are in trouble when they don't have peace. And our true peace comes from the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, the one who is our peace. That's Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wasn't at peace when he was out persecuting the church. And as he went there, the Lord struck him down and told him, he said, Paul, Saul, Saul, Paul, Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You see, he was battling and trying to fight against one much more powerful than he was. There are sometimes you and I wanting to run our race, our way, do it our way, get it done our way, think like I want to think, act like I want to act, behave like I want to behave, and we want to ignore the fact that we were created by Almighty God and we need to be submissive to Him. And I'll tell you, dear ones, when you get to that place, and I pray God brings us there together and we have peace in knowing He's brought us there and we're resting in Him, and we're no longer fighting that, but trusting and leaning upon the Lord who has made you, you'll find peace in your heart. He said, grace be to you and peace. Now, where does that peace come from? It comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you, it's an amazing thing that you and I can have peace with the God of heaven. See, according to the Bible, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none of us good. None of us could fix ourselves up enough to have peace with God. None of us could do right enough to be able to enter heaven. None of us could do right enough to even pray to Him and have Him hear our prayers. None of us could live good enough or act good enough or talk good enough for God to say, okay, now you've met the mark and I'm going to receive you now based on your good work. You see, we had to have something happen in order for us to have access unto God, in order for us to have a hope of being with Him in glory. And the wonderful news is there was a God who loved His people so much that He sent His only begotten Son here in this world. And at that hill called Mount Calvary, Jesus allowed them to take Him and nail Him to a tree. His hands were pierced with nails. His feet with nails. His head, a crown of thorns placed harshly down upon His head. And the blood flowed there at Calvary. Blood, His body was ripped apart with the scourges and the beatings that He endured. And He suffered the very wrath of His Father. What would have been mine and yours and an eternity of torment was taken upon Jesus Christ on the tree of the cross, that you and I might have peace and rest and one day enjoy the very blessings of heaven and immortal glory. And I'm telling you what a great, great blessing that is. He said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, I love to think about Jesus as being God, but Jesus was so many things and is so many things for you and I. You see, Jesus was also the Son of God. Jesus, who was verily God, was the Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God. Jesus was also born of a virgin and came in a body of flesh and was a man. And as a man, God the Father was his God. He spoke unto him as his God. It's wonderful to read in the Bible about the Son speaking unto the Father and calling him his God. Jesus is our elder brother, and his God is our God, and he speaks of God the Father. You go over in the Hebrew letter and read to the writer there, and you'll see where God the Father speaks unto the Son and calls the Son God. In other words, God the Father recognized Jesus as God, and Jesus the Son recognized the Father as God. And the Bible says that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, that all of them are as not three gods, but they are one God made manifest in three persons. And yet Jesus had to fulfill all the things those attributes that he had. He had to fulfill all of them that you and I might have peace with God. You see, Jesus had to be a man so that he could die as man and pay the sin debt for man. That's why he had to come and take upon himself a body of flesh. Listen, we celebrate once a year, or men set aside to celebrate once a year, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that birth of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be with us every single day of the year, because that's Emmanuel, God with us. He was born and took upon him a body of flesh. And the reason that he took upon him a body of flesh is that he might live a perfect life. You see, he had to be the Lamb of God, and he was the Lamb of God, who had no spot or no blemish. There wasn't any wrong in him. And the wonderful thing about heaven is heaven hasn't been purchased by us getting it right and good enough. It's purchased through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got everything right all the time. He never spoke a word out of place. Never went anywhere he wasn't supposed to go or do anything he didn't supposed to do. He never went somewhere without any purpose or direction. And I think of my own life, how many times I'm going somewhere and I can't even remember why I went, why I got there. That's not how our Lord walked. Our Lord walked according to the very will of God and in every aspect of his life. And here the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I love this verse because he says, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That tells us that all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. All of them. All of them are in heavenly places in Christ. Outside of Christ, there are no spiritual blessings. All of them are in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's kind of like this thought. If you had all the money in the world in a bank, and that one bank had all the money in the world, and someone said you can have access to all of that money if you'll just pay a dollar, you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? Because you couldn't get a dollar because all the dollars are in that bank. In order to have the dollar, you'd have to get in the bank in order to have the dollar to be able to pay the dollar to get in the bank. And that would be impossible because you don't have a dollar because all of them are in the bank. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about every spiritual blessing you and I have ever had in our lives. Somebody said, "If you'll do this, you'll get in Christ." Well, if that be the case, you'd be in trouble, because whatever you'd have to do would be a spiritual blessing that you'd have to do in order to get into the bank to get the spiritual blessing. You get in Christ. Listen, if we're in Christ, we were chosen in Him from before the very foundation of the world. And then in time, we're created in Christ. And the ability that we have to love the Lord, to repent, to trust in the Lord, to lean upon Him. Every one of those are spiritual blessings. And if one of those was required for us to get into it, listen, He has been the one who's worked this even before the very foundation of the world. He had a love for His people. And by the way, His people in a little, small little group like we see here today. The Lord has a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people, a number that no man can number. The Bible says there is innumerable, means you can't count them, as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. It's a number that no man can number. The book of Romans says that He was the firstborn among many brethren. And thanks be to God, we have a Savior who truly did and can and does save. He doesn't try to do it. He doesn't want to do it. He speaks and it's done. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Have you ever been able to pray, "Lord, forgive me"? Well, I want you to know the reason you were able to pray that is because He gave you a spiritual blessing, and that spiritual blessing was in Christ already. That little brother that said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," recognized he was a sinner because he was in Christ and the blessings had come to him from Christ, and he was allowed to see that. If you've ever had a desire to follow Him, you ever had a desire to pray to Him, if you've had a desire to call upon Him, if those things come from the Lord, and when you see it in others, you see in something that can only come from Almighty God. And when you see the fruit of the Spirit in the life of somebody, that all of those things come from the Lord. All of that's the work of Almighty God. And for us to say, "Well, we got to do this or that in order to get it," takes away from the praise that belongs only to the Lord. And we are not to praise anyone but the Lord for our salvation, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Apostle Paul would have the saints know that. He didn't have them know that in order to become saints. He wanted them to know that because they are saints. See, I'm not talking to you today to try to get you to be God's children. I see evidence in your life that you are His children. I see a work that God did in you. I see something on the inside God put there. I see spiritual blessings coming from you that had to be in Christ, because all spiritual blessings are in Christ. I see a desire to want to sing the songs of Zion because God worked it in you. And see, by that, I don't give you the praise and the honor and the glory for the song you're singing, but I give the Lord the praise and the honor. I'm thankful you're singing, but I give God the praise for it, because I know if it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't be praising Him. You'd be cursing Him. And many of us have experienced that in our own life, where we had a time all we wanted to do was curse Him. We could care very little. But then He woke us up. Have you been woken? He allowed you to see things you could not see, and know things you did not know before, and love things you would not have loved, and caused you to do some of the things you thought you could never live without. Don't have any appetite for them so much at all now. Oh, there's that old flesh that still wants them a little bit. You know, the old flesh that entices us, and that we fall into. But I want to live better today. I want to act better, and I want to talk better, not to become His child, but because of how good the Lord has been to me. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." According, that means in agreement with, and an agreement with His purpose. "According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." And I love that verse because it's so plain you can't mess it up. Well, some do, but you shouldn't be able to mess it up. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Jesus told His disciples, "I have chosen you. You have not chosen me." I know in our own experience it feels like we got to a place where I just felt so much in need of Him. I reached out and accepted Him and embraced Him. But listen, if you felt that in your own experience, it's because He worked that in your heart. And you had a love for Him because He loved you. And yes, if He's worked that in, you ought to work it out and reach out and lean upon Him. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's made that call unto those of His children that are hungry and are heavy laden. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." You'll find rest. That means peace. You'll find rest unto your soul. And I'll tell you, God's little children that have been awakened to that need to come to the foot of the cross and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in order that they might become God's children, but they might have peace and joy and rest in their lives because God has given them life. And it's time for us, if He's given us to life, if we have that life in us, to walk in the life the Lord's given us. I'll tell you what, it's a rough road as a little child of God to try to live like you're not. And sometimes God's little children get that place, don't we? Sometimes when somebody says something to me, I get a little mad at them and want to fire back. You know, I get in the flesh. You ever get there? Sometimes in my family, rather than operate in the spirit, I operate in the flesh. And rather than loving and forgiving and doing the things God has taught me to do, I go back to the old path and the old way, and the old man rises up. And I tell you what that does in my home. If it's there in my home, it brings trouble and heartache and pain. It doesn't make anybody happy. I might get a little puffed up for a little while, and that doesn't last very long until I lay down and go to sleep and toss and turn and try to get a little rest. I'm telling you, we have a God with whom you must do. You have to do. You might get by with everybody else, but you're not going to get by with Him, do you? No. He chastens His children, those He loves. He gives us peace when we do that which is right. You know that little peace you feel in your heart when you've done the right thing? You have that, and you don't have to have the preacher come tell you that. You don't, you know that when the Lord has worked that in you, when you're living in a way to honor and glorify Him and give Him and do it for the right reason and for the right purpose. All the blessings that you have, you know, those who do it to be seen, He said, though, even those who prayed in public to be seen, He said, they already have their reward. But those who pray in their closets and look to the Lord, He comes in secret and rewards them, and you have that peace in your heart. I'll tell you, to have peace with the Lord is the most wonderful thing you can have in this world. It helps you when you're sick. It helps you when you're well. You don't have to be well to be okay. You can be sick and be okay. And you can be well and be sick. You can have all the things. You can have all the money of this world and be miserable. There are many men, many women that are. You can have all the things this world would say would bring you peace. And when you get them, you know, I often say it's like cotton candy. It looks real good, but there's no substance in it. You just get a little sweet for a moment and poof, gone. Nothing real good in it. And if you eat too much of it, it makes you sick. Nothing there. I'm telling you, to have the peace where it comes from the Lord, and the peace in your heart, and that peace that He gives is a true peace and a true rest. And that's found in obedience. The scripture says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. That is not scripture. That's a song. But a song that's based on scripture. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him. That's how you got in Him. You got in Him because He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. God made choice. God saw His people. He saw them in His eye of foreknowledge. He saw them in their need. He saw them and loved them. He saw them not worthy, not deserving. He didn't choose because we were worthy or deserving. We see in Jacob and Esau a perfect picture of election, where God, seeing those two children and seeing them neither having done good nor evil, made choice and said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And God chose them not because they were deserving of anything. Chose Jacob not because he was deserving, but in spite of all that he didn't deserve. And I'm telling you, if God had left me right in the place I was, God wouldn't have been at fault whatsoever. I couldn't have said, God, it's your fault. Listen, I'm the one who sinned, not the Lord. I'm the one who came short of His glory, not the Lord. But the good news is, He came where I was. And I believe He came where you were. And He made choice of you. And he chose you before the very foundation of the world. And He brought you to the place that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And I think this speaks not only to what we will be, but I think it speaks also to what we should be. You see, some people, when they hear about elections, say, well, then it means it doesn't matter how you live. If living right doesn't make you His child, it really doesn't matter how you live. Let me tell you, if you really understand God's choice of His people, you'll understand it's so vital. You'll understand the real purpose in good works. You see, doing right is not something you do to get God's favor. It's something you do out of love and gratitude to the Lord. When you realize, just think for a minute how good the Lord's been to you. Think about His love and mercy that's been shown to you. Think about how He's blessed you and your family. Think about the times that you have pulled away and yet He's been right there. Times that you haven't looked to Him or called upon Him and yet He is supplied. He changes not. We're fickle and change with the wind, but God doesn't change. And how He supplied to us every single day, everything that we stand in need of. Brethren, when you think of that kind of God, don't you see how much He's loved you? How great His love has been for you? And when you understand how much He's loved you, I'll tell you what, and you realize how much you've been forgiven. The Bible says, who has been forgiven much, loveth much. But if you feel like, well, God hadn't done very much for me, well, you loveth little. Oh, I want you to see how great things the Lord has done for you. And then in turn, how much we ought to love Him because of His great love for us. He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. What that means, He prefixed our destiny. There's a place He's prepared for us. There's a home that He has purchased for us. There's a place that we will inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. Isn't it good news to know that this world, when it's over, this little time that we're living is but a vapor and is here for a little while. But there's a place awaiting for us that the Lord has prepared. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I know in that preparation, He's given us this sweet fellowship in the church. And we have many places of sweet fellowship with Him in this world. But I believe there's an eternal home awaiting every one of God's little children when they leave this world. And they'll reach that home not because they achieved it, but because He bought it and paid for it. And they are a purchased people that were bought with the blood of the Lamb. And it isn't what they did to make it there. It's what He did for them that they will be there. And there will not be one for whom He died on the tree of the cross that will miss that home, that place. Those He loved in covenant, even before the very foundation of the world. He predestinated us unto the... He prefixed our destiny, is what that means, unto the adoption of children. That is, we would be the adopted children of God. We would be born in the family of God, but also adopted in the family of God. We're His children by birth and by adoption. Isn't that wonderful? You're in there by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And it was done by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Notice what the purpose of all this is that we might give the praise and the glory to the Lord, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That means in His grace, we've been made accepted in the Beloved. That means, how do we get accepted with the Lord? Is it we accept the Lord, or is it He hath made us accepted in the Beloved? And the answer to that is clear. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That means He's washed us in His own blood, and He's paid that sin debt so that we might have... You can pray to the Lord today because He's paid your sin debt. And He will hear your prayers because Jesus died for you and loved you. And He will hear those things. And when we call upon Him, it's an evidence of His work in our hearts. And we won't get there because we got good enough. It's because we've been washed in His blood and He can hear our prayers. I'll tell you, have you prayed and have you felt Him hear your prayers? That's because of Jesus and His death on the cross and that payment that was made for you. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Remember when Jesus was baptized, the voice came out of heaven. The Spirit of God descended as a dove upon the Son of God. We see the Trinity there. How we see the baptism of the Son of God. We see the Spirit of God descending as a dove upon His own Son. And then the voice of heaven spoke and said, this is My beloved Son. This is My beloved Son. in whom I'm well pleased. We were made accepted in that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. I needed redemption. I needed redeeming. I was lost. I was sold under sin and bondage. There was no way to get out, but I needed a redeemer, and a redeemer came. Not a wannabe, try to be, maybe a redeemer, but a redeemer who was able to redeem. He called Him Jesus. Why? For He shall save His people from their sins. He redeemed us. We are a peculiar people, which doesn't mean strange. It means purchased people, purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that which Jesus bought, He'll have. Body, soul, and spirit. He'll have it. He says, we have redemption through His blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. I need the forgiveness of sins. Sin every day. I'll get up in the morning and say, I want to do better today. I want to think better, want to act better, want to talk better. And before I move, I'm like the Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, I find evil present with me. The doctrines of this world say, well, you had it, but you lost it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, if it was left up to us, we'd never have it, much less, and we would certainly lose it. And if that's what I believed, I would have no peace. I'd have no rest. If I was trusting in what I... Because listen, I've tried. There have been times I wanted to... And I do want to live. I'm not saying I don't want to try better. I want to continue. But I'm telling you, the very best day that I've ever lived is comes up short of being what it ought to be. But the very Jesus never had a day like that. He is my hope, my salvation, my strength, my everything. My trust is in Him. Our trust is to be in Him. That doesn't make what He did a reality. It's a reality whether I trust it or not. But boy, there's a peace and trust in it. I want you to trust. I don't want you trusting in yourself. I want you to trust in what He's done. When you get in trouble, I want you to call on Him. When you need Him, I want you to know He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know that He'll listen. He'll supply that which you need. It may be just a friend here in this world. He supplies. If you've got a friend in this world, there are blessings that come from Almighty God. You got a good mama? It's a blessing that came from Almighty God. A good father is a blessing that comes from Almighty God. A good husband, a good wife. Don't think it's just happenstance. It's the blessings of Almighty God. And when you recognize them to be such, you'll treat them a whole lot better than we do sometimes. Remember where they come from. Those little children that sometimes cause you hair to turn gray or fall out or you know, everything else. Some people say, you know, hair is turning gray. I don't worry so much about it turning gray. It's just being there, you know. Falling out. It's gone. It's gone. Brother Ted shaking his head. Yeah, it's gone. Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The children that in my life have been a blessing to me. Those that I have been a blessing. There have been times there have been a lot of hair loss, a lot of hair gray, turning gray, but they're blessings. Blessing. God's been all over them. His handprint has been all over my life. The Bible says He was with us when we were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb. That's why every child is precious. It's a creation of Almighty God. And the Bible also teaches us He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Even when we kick against the pricks. Listen, Paul was kicking against the pricks. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But I'm telling you what, when the Lord went into battle against Paul, Paul didn't win. Paul was knocked down on the road. Paul was made to cry out unto God, who art thou, Lord? Paul was brought to a place where he was had been made in submission. I see so many of God's little children fighting against those things that would be great blessings to them if they'd simply submit to the will of God. Listen, I know about that in my own life. Sometimes what God would have me to do isn't what I wanted. Matter of fact, let me say this. What I want to do is never just what God would have me to do. Because I got a way that's my way, and He has a way that His way, and the Bible says His ways and thoughts are so much higher than our ways and thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth. His ways and thoughts are above our ways. And that's why it's so important for us to not follow that old man and do what we want, but to follow what He teaches. And His way, that's a king's highway. That's a pathway of peace. a pathway that's got, you know, listen, you won't get out of the tribulations and troubles of this world. Got some of our new people said, boy, he sure talks a long time. I'm not going to keep going. I want to, but I'm not. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, they have the forgiveness of sins. Listen, according, how forgiven are you? A little forgiven? Are we forgiven like we do in the world? Sometimes we forgive them, but I'll never forget it. You know, I'll forgive you, but I'll never get over it. Listen, when Jesus forgave us, our sins were moved from us as far as the east and from the west, never to be remembered against you anymore. Why are you still carrying them when he's forgotten them? Listen, he removed them because of the blood of Jesus. He didn't just say forget them. He had the payment was made that they would be removed from you. And you have peace with him. You can call upon him and he'll hear you. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, he'll hear you. And listen, that is not to get to be his. It's because you are his. I've said that. I hope I've said it enough. You've heard it. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. We love you. Love you, my brother. That was all right.